Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You live in fear without having answers or knowing why. You don't know if it was something against your family or just a random act, if you're going to lose another one. It's a scary life to live knowing that he's still out there. Deandra Kirkpatrick, Tracy's sister. Welcome to Grimley.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Corrective.
Now we're recording.
Okay, because that would have been super boring, strange.
That would have been cut out completely.
Yes,
for sure. Like, I'm not gonna leave that in.
Hi.
You will never know.
Just boring corporate, a day in the life conversation.
Let people think it's
everyone's
a mystery.
Nightmare. I do have a mystery. Well, not really a mystery.
Oh.
I've been dying to tell you this all day.
Okay.
Welcome to Grimley.
Yes. Hi. Welcome to Grimley.
I'm Meg.
I'm Missy.
Okay. So I've been dying to tell you this all freaking day.
Okay.
Okay.
Please
okay,
pause
so
longer.
I was at work, okay. And I won't get into it in great detail, but long story short, one of my colleagues messaged me today and was like, hey, I've been asked to go to one of these sites,
mm-hmm.
and these are the dates, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it, but I'd like to try to. Will you help me, you know, make sure that happens?
Yeah.
And then sends me a link to the site that he's going to go and visit in Texas, and mm-hmm. It is the thumbnail, the picture, is an image of the Yearning for Zion Ranch in Texas.
Oh.
And I was like, wait a second, why? That's Warren Jeff's compound.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is that pervy cult leader's home in this video? Like, what are you talking about? And he starts laughing and he's like, that's the site. So long story short, when he was arrested and uh-huh. The government seized the property, they sold it or turned over management of it to a vendor that we work with, and they want us, or the company I work for, to find a way to use the land. And he's going, and I could have gotten myself an invitation on this trip.
Yeah.
But he's going when I'm going to be in Scotland.
Oh, fuck.
And I spent a good portion of the day,
like, contemplating,
should I change my plans? Because that is truly a once in a lifetime.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
I know. That's rough.
I won't. But anyway, I just was all day, like, elated and horrified and confused.
Yeah.
And also just like,
fuck.
Sad.
Yeah.
Like, no,
I wanted to go so bad. Oh, that'd be a very interesting site to go visit, for sure.
I know. He told me that he'd actually already has been out there
more
than once and sent some photos of, like, while they were there. And, yeah, all of this stuff is still there. Did you watch the documentary?
Yes. I've also read the book.
Have you seen, or do you remember this giant, weird, like, tubs that they mm-hmm. have? Photos of the tub. It's just still there. They did unspeakable things to women and children in those fucking tubs.
if he's had to go multiple times.
I know, there's a chance.
Maybe you can weasel your way back.
You know, he's saying,
you should definitely like me, like, I'm interested.
Oh, I did. I was okay. I would pay money to go. And he's like, no, if the next time I go, you can come with me. So maybe. But it does seem unlikely. It was just so random, the intersection.
It's very weird and random, but like, yeah, that's wild. Who'd have thought? I guess it makes sense that they seize property and use it for other shit.
Yeah. Who would use it, though? I mean,
I don't know.
Any number of people would probably want to, but yeah, I guess the government's like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to make some money off of it.
Right?
I don't know. He told me that the city thought that they were just building like a hunting lodge and had no idea. How many people were living out there.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that too. I think maybe in the book.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I read that book and that book is fucking horrific.
I know the whole thing. Yeah.
It follows one of the main girls. Her name's Melissa. She's in the documentary too, I think.
Certainly.
I was waiting for a confirmation.
My mind is running through all of the content that I've seen on it.
There's also a lot of women.
Yes. Well, yes, true.
Which.
But there's just so much content. I've absorbed so much content on it over the years. I'm
like, yeah. It's been like a story for a while. Yeah, for sure. Anyways, hopefully that guy's rotting in hell. Happy Pride Month.
Oh, nice. Have you gone to any events?
No. I would like to go to a drag show. I was trying to go to Pride last year because Orville Peck was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Or he was supposed to be playing, but he canceled because he canceled for like his, he just needed like a break essentially. He was like, I'm not doing anything. But I think Trixie Mattel is going to be up here in Seattle doing some sort of like disco pink. They call it the pink disco or something.
Amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to anyone who celebrates, happy Pride Month.
Hopefully, yeah, gays and bays.
All the gays and bays. Hopefully, you're in a safe space where you can celebrate.
Well, the drink you're holding kind of it's giving a very.
It says Lover Boy.
It does.
Yeah, that's very George Michael. So
no, it's a kind of a gay drink that you're holding.
Yeah, I mean it's half iced tea, half lemonade. I don't know. You're holding a gay or drink. You're drinking rosé.
Sparkling rosé.
Exactly. You know what? Cheers to the gays. You know what we also should be cheersing to?
Oh. Or what? Oh, I do. I think I know what you're going to say.
That's not kicking off a Pride Month in a great way.
I think that really needed to happen. Sanity.
Yeah.
For my sanity, for the collective, for justice sanity.
For like, America's sanity?
Yeah, completely.
Just to, like, prove that, like, it isn't completely hopeless? Mm. I mean...
It's not over.
It's not over. Like, yeah, like, if he takes it to the Supreme Court, like, he's appointed how many of those judges?
Stop. Okay. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Let's call it a win. A win is a win. For now.
Okay, I can change the subject. I was thinking about this the other day. If you were running for office, like, for president... Sorry, I have
doozy.
I have dumb thoughts all the time.
Like, no part of me would ever want to do that.
No, but if you could like make some like low stakes laws,
okay.
What do you think?
It's like a trivia question. Or this like an icebreaker question?
It is kind of an icebreaker question.
Oh my god!
I know my first one would be every public bathroom has to have music.
Are you okay?
That's a law. Every public bathroom.
Okay.
Contemporary.
I think.
Everyone needs a little privacy in the public bathroom.
Agreed.
You know?
Maybe not soft. Maybe not soft music.
Maybe loud, but like you just need something in the background.
Yeah, I think that's not so bad.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that everyone could agree on.
I support it. I think tampons and feminine hygiene products should be free.
Just raining from the streets.
Yeah, wish.
I agree. That's a good one. Yeah. That might be a hot button issue for some people in this country, unfortunately.
Probably people who don't have
menstruations.
Yeah.
The menzies without the menstruations.
Yeah.
Politics. Yeah. Sorry. Politics, my other one, actually, I was thinking about it. This fucking like really bright
headlights, like the halogen.
Yeah, those do suck.
I'd ban those.
I hate those.
Just ban them. If you have them, punished by death.
I have to tell you something that happened to me. I was a victim
of one of those headlights.
I was, well, worse, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I was coming home from the airport recently, not this most recent time, but probably the last time I flew, and it was at night, and there was a cabbie, like an actual cab, sort of moseying and meandering too slowly, in my opinion, so I passed him. Mm-hmm. There was two lanes, like I didn't have to
cross. You'd have to go into other oncoming traffic.
Yes, and I just was like, I just passed him, and I don't think he liked that, and then he reached his hand out his window and grabbed some sort of light that was on his car, almost like a spotlight, and shined it at me fully blinded me for like 30 seconds.
That's fucking scary.
It was so rude and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Also, like I didn't honk at him.
You just passed him.
I literally just passed him.
What a jackass.
I know. So I was a victim of a light-based
crime.
Not
light as in diet. Light as in light bulb.
Yes. The light spectrum.
Yeah.
As in victim of the light spectrum.
Victim of the spotlight. Wow. That's fucked up. That's actually like kind of dangerous and scary.
Unhinged.
They really are. Yeah.
I don't want to be. Then Becca could just pick anybody up too.
Yeah.
Hope you don't say the wrong thing to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that makes you think of there was one time I was in LA with our friend Chelsea, and I can't remember what happened, but like this other car, like I think like cut us off or did something, and I flipped them off, and she was so mad at me.
Oh, it was a woman?
No, it was a man.
Yeah.
I flipped off the other man in the car, and she was pissed. She was like, "Do not fucking do that." She's like, "You will get a shot," and I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, my dad would be one of those people that...
I mean, I agree with her now. It was just
we're
like...
We're going to cut that, probably.
What?
my dad shoot somebody, but...
I would have thought you were going to say your dad would be always, one of the people that would agree.
He's always packing.
I don't think
he was an unreasonable shooter.
No. No, but like, I don't know. LA, flipping off a car at night. You never know. Just don't do it, guys. Just don't flip them off. Like, aggressive driving is just completely, absolutely
it's really not that serious.
It's not that serious.
Driving. I mean, driving is serious and dangerous.
Take it seriously.
So, like, whatever traffic interactions that happen is not that serious.
Like, you don't need to, like, flip people off. You don't need to cut people off. Like,
you don't need to cut people off because where are you going?
Yeah, that's so important. That you couldn't have used an ambulance if it was that important, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess that's the PSA for today.
What are we talking about today?
So today we are talking about, this one's a rough one.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. It is an unsolved murder.
Oh, unsolved. That's frustrating.
Yes, yes. And so I think you asked me a while ago if I was ever going to talk about my robbery story from the coffee shop that we both worked at. This is the story.
I can't remember either. Is that the DBTuber episode?
That might have been DBTuber, but this is the story that made me think of that. And this is like kind of where I wanted to share that story at some point story.
Okay. We're going to get a twofer today?
I guess kind of. I mean, my story is not that insane.
You were a victim also.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll just tell it now.
Yeah, why not?
Right. Okay. So you and I in high school and a little bit after high school, we worked at a coffee shop together. It's no longer there, sadly, but they made very good coffee. I was usually always the closer at the coffee shop. So I was the person like walking the door, shutting off the lights, yada, yada, yada. And there was one night I was there by myself and I was bagging coffee because we roasted our own coffee there. And I was like actively bagging coffee. And it was almost close time. It was like 8:30.
Was it winter time? Was it dark?
It was summer.
Yeah.
And a man walks in. And the setup of the coffee shop is like one side was the coffee bar and then the other wall that's where like you were bagging coffee at, like the bagging station essentially.
Yeah,
so I had to like walk behind one counter, go to the other counter.
Yeah.
And so I walked to the register and I asked the man like, "Oh, hi, how are you? What can I get you?" Blah, blah, blah.
And he like looks up at the menu and he's like sitting there. He's like, oh, he's like, I don't know. He's like, how about all the cash from the register?
Like a joke.
Like a joke. And I looked at him. I was like, wait, what? And then he pulls out a gun.
Oh, my God.
And next is very fucking stupid. Don't do this. I say, are you fucking kidding me?
You did.
I did. Like, my reaction to, like, dangerous situations probably isn't great. I'm not going to lie.
What did he do?
He just looked at me, and I pulled the panic button, because we had a panic button underneath the counter, and I think he saw me do it, because then he grabbed my cash tips,
yeah,
like the tip jar up front, and runs out the front door.
That could have gone
so much worse.
What kind of idiot, though, is like, a coffee shop. Let me go.
Yeah.
Let me go rob a coffee shop. What are you? You're just looking for a few bucks?
Right. It's a very popular coffee shop, too. And literally, the police station was down the street.
I know. It was close.
The police were there in, like, a minute. They kicked in the back door. They, like, kicked in, like, our back, like storeroom door. Like, they came in, like, wow. Guns ready.
Oh, wow.
I was like, he went that way. It was a whole ass thing.
So scary.
It was very scary. And I don't think I ever told you this. Comes to find out, that man was friends with my older sister, my oldest sister. Mm. And he had actually had Thanksgiving dinner at my house once.
Do you think he knew
with my family?
Who you were?
I don't know. Mm. No, I don't know. But it's doubly funny because when I had to go do the lineup. Like, they show you a bunch of photos and be like, you have to identify who it is because they caught him. I was going to pick him from the lineup. I remember telling the officer, I was like, you know, I'm like, I feel like it's this guy, but I'm like, I also feel like I'm recognizing this guy because he's friends with my sister. And I don't know if that's why I'm recognizing him.
Oh, interesting.
But it was the same fucking person.
Yeah.
He admitted to what he went to jail for something else. I think he went to jail for beating up his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he admitted to his cellmate about the robbery.
Okay.
And the cellmate ratted him out.
Oh, okay.
For less
time. For like what, like $14 or
yeah, I think
bucks, 60
you bucks? Know what's even more fucked up? The owner of that coffee shop never gave me any
I'm
cash.
Force you to add a bunch of edits to this episode.
What?
We do not say names.
Sorry, I will beep out his name. But the owner
and the name of the shop.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But it's still a public company. There's still a coffee shop. Okay. I'll bleep it out. But yeah, he didn't give me my money back.
Yeah,
the tip stolen.
Really? He didn't?
No.
Really?
No.
That sucks.
I should have given him just the fucking money from the register.
I know. You should have.
I should have.
Yeah.
But I said, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, instead.
Always give. What do you need to hold up? You need to fight about
yeah,
it? What
no.
are you trying to fight the
I don't. I have no idea why. I think I was a little bit nervous about what the owner of the store
would do.
Like, I was worried about him being pissed.
I'm sorry.
Which, I mean, I was like
this
18,
is
19.
Turning into an episode of Men Are Trash. But I bet whoever. Who's murdered?
It is a young teenage girl.
I bet a man did it. That's just my
it's
guess.
Pretty much assumed it was. Okay.
All right, let's get into it. I'm sorry that happened to you, though.
Yeah. So you will see the correlation here and why this case made me think of
that
story in my life. Yes. Right. Okay. So the case begins in Frederick, Maryland. Frederick is the second largest city in Maryland behind Baltimore, which is 46 miles west. I know you like to have your geography lesson at the beginning.
Okay, so, I was distracted though, and you just heard over.
We're not even a bullet in.
I wasn't ready to transition.
Okay, sorry, we're still thinking about my robbery, my trauma.
I was still over there somewhere.
Okay,
listening actively.
Frederick, Maryland. That
okay.
is where we.
Okay, I knew you didn't get far. I was like, there's still time to go back.
Please restart. Okay, Frederick, Maryland is the second largest city in Maryland. It is second to Baltimore.
Okay.
Is the capital of Maryland.
Okay, yeah.
It is 46 miles west of Baltimore.
It is in the north end of Maryland, and it has major crossroads and multiple highways, which includes Interstate 70 and 270, which could be a factor in this case.
All right.
But the major highways connecting it.
Trucking routes. And
yes.
Things.
So Frederick is also the location of a tragic murder case that has been unsolved for 35 years, which is the murder of Tracy Kirkpatrick. Have you heard this one?
It's not ringing a bell.
Crime Junkie has covered this.
Okay.
So I know you listen to that more than I do.
Yeah.
So
is there a photo?
Yes, this is Tracy.
Is there, was there another photo? Did they find later? Never mind.
Oh, I think I know which one you're thinking about. It's not
okay,
that.
Were they?
Yeah. So, Tracy was described as a quiet teenager who had a passion to write poetry. Her mother described her. She is beautiful. Her mother described her as very expressive through her writing and was incredibly intelligent. Her mother also talked about how she was a very hard worker. She also really loved her friends and really loved her animals. Like, just a very sweet teenage girl. So during her senior year of high school in 1989, Tracy was working two part-time jobs.
Wow.
Which really speaks to the hard worker. Because she insisted on saving up money to put herself through college. She, like, hopefully wanted to become an accountant in, like, one of her part-time jobs. Was like a almost like a running start, like a half college, half high school program where she was like kind of like apprenticing as like a accountant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like she was hustling.
I know.
She was a really hard worker.
Fuck.
Yeah. She like was known just like had like a huge love for people. She was very, very sweet, very kind, just kind of quiet, shy, but maybe not necessarily a wallflower, but just like a sweet, kind girl. So one of Tracy's part-time jobs was working at a clothing store as a sales clerk called Eileen's Lady Sportswear in the mall in the town of Frederick.
Okay.
So on the night of March 15th, 1989, she was closing down the store. And was going through the receipts and kind of getting ready to lock up. She was last seen alive at 8:45 p.m. The store closes at 9. So, two hours later, a security guard and also a sheriff's deputy by the name of Donald Barnes Jr. So he kind of moonlights as a security guard, is kind of doing his rounds of the mall, and he notices that the sports store still has all of its lights on. And this is like 11 o'clock at night almost, and it closes at 9. So he thought that was weird. So So Donald goes to investigate the store. Once he gets in the store, he opens a door. He like yells out, asks if anyone's there. No one responds. He realizes the door is unlocked, obviously, because he does that. And it also seems like whoever was closing the store just kind of left abruptly.
Oh, Jesus.
Because there's still like the cash receipts on the counter. Like there was some money in the till. Like it wasn't like it had been closed down.
Like someone just left.
Yeah. Someone just like left. Yeah. Yeah. Barnes goes back to the storeroom. And this is where he finds Tracy's body.
Oh, gosh.
And she is obviously deceased.
Yeah.
So this is when Barnes calls 911 and tells them the situation. It says, you know, I found this girl in the storeroom. She's clearly already dead. And he says that, like, he knew that she was already dead because whatever happened to her had been very brutal and violent, and there was a lot of blood.
Okay.
So soon after, investigators arrive on the scene and discover that Tracy has been stabbed multiple times across her chest and her back.
The stabbing. Honestly, being stabbed is low-key top three biggest fears. It's a low-grade anxiety that is just always there.
I think that's just a low-grade anxiety in women.
It's so painful. It's so fucking painful and terrifying.
Yeah. Like, I stabbed myself in the thumb once, and it was fucking awful.
Yeah. Ugh, God.
Like, I've stabbed myself in the hand on accident. Like, it hurts, and it hurts for days.
It does.
And, like, I just can't imagine, like, something.
It's so scary.
Yeah. It's just
so violent.
It's so violent. Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, there was a lot of blood at the scene, but there was very little evidence that the investigators can actually use to help solve Tracy's murder.
Okay.
The only two real clues found at the scene of the crime was a blood smear on the back door that also had a partial fingerprint in it.
Okay.
So the back door led to a hallway, which then leads to a loading dock. And the investigators determined this is probably how the suspect fled the store instead of going out the front entrance. And they kind of suspected this because of the smear. Then also there was like a couple of drops of blood in the hallway as well.
No, sorry, what was the second clue?
There was a few drops of blood in the hallway. So there was the partial fingerprint and this blood smear, drops of blood in the hallway. Like they call it.
Maybe not her blood, or
maybe not her blood. There is some discrepancy about like testing the blood. It sounds like they don't do it for like a year after this. Because in so I mean that's a part of the end game, I think. In the storeroom where Tracy was found, there were signs of a struggle. There was also no signs of forced entry into the store. So either the suspect entered the store before Tracy locked up, or she let somebody in. And the fact that, like, how violent the crime was and, like, how brutally she was murdered, they're kind of suspecting that this was someone she knew.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
Is this a store in a mall, or is it, like, an outdoor strip mall?
No, it's a store in a mall. Well, they're, like, it sounds like kind of like the JCPenney, where there's, like, a front entrance, and, yeah, like, that's facing a parking lot.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, the back, like, that's how you can take, like, hallways to the mall. Okay. Have you ever been, like, into, like, the backside of a mall?
No.
Or worked at Cheesecake Factory.
Go on.
Sometimes I'm, like,
this is a world not everyone sees.
Yeah, sometimes when they close, like, if you're, like, closing out the restaurant and the restaurant closes after the mall does, and you have to, like, get to your parking garage, but your parking garage, usually, specifically the Cheesecake Factory, is on the other side of the mall in Bellevue Square. Mm. And so to get to the parking garage without having to walk all the way around the mall, you had to go through, like, the back hallways at the mall. Okay. It's a fucking labyrinth, I will say.
Yeah.
It's really, and that, I think, also speaks to one of the suspects in this story, too.
Okay.
So it's not just, like, a very obvious hallway. There's not, like, a bunch of signs, just, like, exit signs. There's but
somebody maybe that works at the mall?
Yes.
Or has worked at the mall before?
Exactly. Okay. That was kind of my assumption, too.
Okay.
Probably because I've had to go through the back of the mall. I haven't
even thought about it, this mysterious happening.
So the cash register was still full, and the receipts that Tracy had been going through were also, like, undisturbed. So it was, like, very clearly she was, like, staying at the cash register. Someone walked in, probably someone she knew, and something happened. Even though the cash register was still full and there were still receipts, the store keys that Tracy had on her were missing. And also, like, her personal items, like her purse and her wallet, were also gone. And, like, her car keys.
They robbed her also.
But Tracy's car was still in the mall parking lot.
Okay.
There was also no sign of the murder weapon.
Okay.
So because there is no sign of robbery and violence, it's pointed that Tracy was during this time, it's like whoever killed her probably knew her, right? And so we just said. So this is a sad part. Around 11 p.m., when the investigation was happening, Tracy's parents show up to the mall.
Okay.
Because they were worried that her car had broken down, because it had in the past. It was kind of unreliable.
And she wasn't home yet?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And this is where, like, the parents are, like, running up to the store and see all the cops are like, is she okay? What happened? And this is where they have to break the news to her that their daughter's been murdered. This is tragic, obviously, but also the investigators were also able to get new clues from Tracy's parents specifically. The first clue is, so Tracy had, like, told her dad specifically that, like, if she wasn't home past 11, that something bad happened to her.
Okay.
Which is really weird and cryptic. There wasn't really, like, any elaboration what that meant. I don't know if that's, like, part of the investigation still or what that means.
Or maybe she was just like, I'm always just going to come straight home.
Yeah.
So if I'm not home, then that's the only reason.
Yeah, that's also probably.
Going, you know.
Right. She doesn't really sound like a girl that's, like, going out to, like, party. Okay. She's got an agenda. She's got things to do for sure. Tracy was also late to get home the previous night. Her parents actually came to the store again. Because they thought maybe her car had broken down again. But they found her, like, safe and sound talking to her ex-boyfriend, a 19-year-old boy named John German. Oh. Tracy told her parents that her and John were talking about the relationship and they had actually decided to get back together
okay.
during this conversation. And that's kind of, like, why they're at the store for so long.
Okay.
Okay.
John never really comes up again in this story. He is vetted by police, but, like, doesn't sound like there's any bad blood between them. I mean, like, it sounds like they literally got back together the day before this happened. So.
Okay.
Why? I guess, I mean, she decided to break up with him the next day. That's the only reason. But he doesn't really come up.
Why would he be a suspect?
Yeah, why would he be a suspect? Okay. So the next few days after Tracy's murdered, everyone that knew Tracy was questioned. So this includes teachers, families, friends, coworkers, literally anyone that had interacted with her on, like, a regular basis. And really nothing comes from these interviews. The night of the murder, Tracy left her home around 1 p.m. to start her shift. So she started, like, her, like her apprenticeship, like, at the accountant's office at, like, 1 p.m. And then after that, she goes to Eileen's, the sportswear store, at, like, 4:30. Yeah. So she's, like, doing, like, two jobs back to back.
It's a long day.
It's a long day. Around 6:30, Tracy's mother, Diane, stops by the store and drops off something to eat for her.
Her parents are very attentive.
They are.
Oh, they seem lovely.
Yeah. So Diane says that Tracy seems perfectly fine and that there are no red flags. If anything, she's just kind of bored because the store is super slow and empty.
Yeah.
It also is this point that Tracy mentions that, like, she's coming straight home after work because she's really tired.
Okay.
So the store manager also says that they checked on Tracy around 8 p.m. that night. And they also described the store as basically being empty. And, like, Tracy was just kind of there hanging out, waiting for it to close. Mm. The last time the register is used at the store is also 8 p.m. So this was the last time something was rung up by Tracy. That doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't someone in there browsing.
I'd be curious to know what the item was that was purchased. Because I'm like, oh, this is a ladies' sportswear store.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Eileen's. I'm like, what? Mostly, just be a lot of women clientele, I would think.
Or I would hope so.
Presenting.
Yes.
Clientele.
Right. I would think so. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it was just a sports bra.
Yeah. What could it be? And what is a man even doing in there?
It didn't say it was a man.
I know. But eventually. I'm just saying a man has no place there.
True. Okay. I see where you're going. I'm like, it doesn't.
I didn't. Buying something for your wife.
But. Yeah. Right. Truly. Truly. Okay. You're right. Okay. So. There are no security cameras at the store because it's 1989, unfortunately. Okay. Donald Barnes is also questioned again by the police in the hope that maybe he remembers, like, some sort of, like, additional detail that, like, he kind of forgot about the night of. Okay. Or, like, kind of, you know, sadly, nothing new comes from that. He's also giving a polygraph and he passes it with flying colors.
Okay.
The mall itself closes around 9. So police do know that there was one man in the parking lot and he is questioned, but it is determined that he is waiting in the parking lot for his girlfriend who also worked at the mall. All
right.
And they are both questioned and they are cleared as suspects. Are they each other's alibi? I don't know.
All
right. Like, I need a second person not in the relationship to be like a witness or something to that, you know?
Okay.
An autopsy is performed on Tracy. It is determined that she is stabbed 7 times and has defensive wounds on her hands.
Nightmare.
It really is. There is no signs of sexual assault. Okay. And it is determined that she died around 9 p.m. on March 15th.
Oh my gosh. So close to having, like, the door locked.
Yeah. And, like, just being safe. Gone. So after this, like, initial investigation, everything kind of goes cold. Because really they have nothing to go on. There's no cameras. Like, they have a partial fingerprint. They can't match it to anybody.
All right.
Okay. So, a couple months later. This is where it gets kind of weird. There is a radio show called Confession Hotline. It's based in Las Vegas.
All right.
And the idea is, like, you can call and you can pay to confess something anonymously on this hotline.
You have to pay?
You have to pay.
Okay.
It's Vegas. Of course you have to pay.
All right. You just leave a voicemail?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So a few months after the murder of Tracy, the producers of the show get a phone call.
And it's a TV show?
No, it's a radio show.
Oh, sorry.
I originally thought it was a TV show. Like, it was hard to, like, kind of figure out what the fuck this thing was. It was a radio show.
Okay,
Kids, do you know what radios are?
Yeah, so. You sound so young talking about it.
I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I'm going to play the...
You're going to play it? You have it?
I have it. Okay.
That voice message is so, because you know I'm always very suspicious,
mm-hmm.
but that was a roller coaster for me, because I was like, you know, those, a lot of times these things are hoaxes, but that man sounded so unhinged that I was like, he might be for fucking real.
Right, yeah.
Or I want to be skeptical, and mostly I am, but I'm like, you know what?
It's fucking creepy.
And it's the, like, well, like, the selfishness of it, ultimately. Like, well, it won't really matter anyway.
It won't bring her back.
And oops, I guess I realized how, you know, what he said, he created a lot of sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no reason either that, like, he didn't give it. It was just like, oh, we argued. Well, and I think unlikely that you just argued and then you decided to stab her.
Right. Like, you probably made a pass at her.
Yes, because you sounded real creepy in the first few seconds. You would go and visit her while she was alone. When you were working in the coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
did you ever have any creepy lurkers?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Other places, too. It's if you're a woman and you work, or a young woman especially.
Yeah.
Working in a location where men can come in as customers
and just chat you up.
Most of us have experienced this type of behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Minus the stabbing.
Right. You see what I mean when I felt like I saw the correlation between my
story. What do you think about him?
The first thing I noticed was the man refers to himself as Don.
Okay.
The security guard is named Donald.
Wow, that's the first thing you noticed?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, yes. So, he refers to himself as Don. He says that he visited Tracy multiple times, and he has, like, gone in and talked to her, which is something creepy men do, especially with young girls.
I was suspicious of Don at the beginning.
I mean,
like, he was there.
He was there. Yeah, yeah. So.
Cool. Okay.
I don't know if he knows this either. He even, like, says Tracy's name at one point. He calls her Tracy at the end.
He does?
Uh-huh. And he admits going to the store that he kills her in the storeroom, which is, like, exactly what happened.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking balloony tunes.
But he passed with flying colors, you said.
Yes, Don passed a polygraph.
I know those are not reliable or
possible in court, but... So, Donald never went by the nickname Don. He was went by Donnie or Charlie, because that was his middle name. So it kind of seems like, as of right now, it's just a really fucking weird coincidence.
Okay. This guy's full of shit.
Like, but it's also very weird, like, if you're calling to confess a crime, I guess you're doing it anonymously, but, like, why would you say your own name? Like, your real name. You could make up a name.
Maybe you did.
Or not even say your name. But, like, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was mm-hmm. Donald, why would you call and say, like, this is Don? Why not be, like, this is James, you know? Or some other, like, weird fucking name. Or not even say your name at all.
Okay. But that is an interesting note.
Yeah. So, however, public opinion about Johnald Barnes Jr., they're way more skeptical that it is Donald and that he's kind of been cleared of this crime, especially since Donald at the time was also a deputy sheriff. So, like, if it's, like, cops just covering up for other cops, that's, like, kind of what everyone's wondering.
Okay.
But as of right now, there is nothing.
He was a cop?
Yeah, he was a cop. I told you that at the beginning. God damn it.
I know. I think I missed that.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even say he was a security guard.
He was a security guard, and he was, like, he would moonlight as a security guard, but he was a deputy sheriff.
All right, I'm less suspicious of him then.
Because he's a cop?
Yeah. That's where I see me a little bit, but.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like a stabby kind of a.
It's a weird fucking coincidence.
I just can't imagine, like, a cop that's also a security guard would be stabby.
Right? I mean, they're like, just fucking tired. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting that he said that, like, he went in there and talked to her multiple times. Because, mm-hmm. like, if it was him, it wouldn't be weird, you know, that he would go in and talk to her, especially if she, like, closed a lot.
It'd be another creep named Don.
Yeah, yeah. So the call itself is traced back to a payphone outside of a supermarket in Walkersville, which is 8 miles north of Frederick.
Wow.
So it's close.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, there are no security cameras at the supermarket or the payphone. So a description of the man can't not be determined. Also, you can't really get fingerprints from a payphone.
I mean, the guy didn't even disguise his voice. Like, he sound like our security guard cop, Dan?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So, this is also another weird thing. A few months after this incident, another weird tip comes in. A psychic by the name of Martha Woodworth, she lives in Massachusetts, she gives the investigators a call. Right. She is concerned because a man she's been chatting with about Tracy's case, who goes by the name Sean, seems to be a little too interested in the case. She initially thinks that he was a relative or like a really close friend of Tracy, but once she figured out he wasn't any of that, like he wasn't affiliated with her at all, she thought that maybe his infatuation was actually obsession, and it kind of hoisted a red flag for her, okay. So to speak. So investigators, they're like, well, like, if you've talked to him on the phone a lot, do you think he'd recognize his voice? And she's like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So they play the phone call for her, and she's like, yeah, that's absolutely Sean.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, this woman is a psychic?
Yes.
What is her being psychic having to do with?
That's just how people describe her and everything.
All right.
I mean, she was a psychic that people would call and, like, want to, like.
But she knew the guy, right?
No, she didn't know him. She didn't know him. Oh. He called her because he was like, I want to talk about this girl, Tracy.
So she's been getting the phone calls from him too?
Yeah. But she was like,
okay.
Like, because like he was hoping that she could connect with him or something, or Tracy or something. That's why she was getting the phone calls. And that's why it kind of is important.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay. So she called the cops.
She called the cops. She's like, this is fucking creepy. I don't like this. And when she kind of figured out that he wasn't actually knew her.
She sounds like a hero.
And so Sean had sent her a bunch of newspaper clippings of Tracy's case with a return address. She gives the investigators the return address.
And he did that because he wanted her.
He wanted to connect to Tracy.
Yeah, sometimes they're, you know, like they'll say, bring something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what he sent her.
This guy is a loony too.
Which is also a fucking red flag. Like, you don't have a sweater of hers. Like, you don't have like something sentimental. You have newspaper clippings of her case because you'll fucking know her. I think that's why she started being like, this is weird.
Completely.
Yeah. So
he did sound batshit crazy, honestly.
So,
and maybe now, like, the no motive really just like makes sense. Maybe they did. Maybe she just got a little annoyed with him and he'd fucking stab her.
Probably.
I can't.
He was just like, you have to leave. Not. We're closing.
It's probably more.
Yeah. So investigators go back to talk to this Sean guy. This man seemingly has no connection.
But Sean sounds like Don, and it was a kind of a fuzzy fucking voicemail from the
80s. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. So this man seemingly has no connection to Tracy, like we just said. But it's also determined he's not the killer.
Because of?
So we don't know
because this is still an active case. And there's a lot of like stuff in this case that they can't really talk about publicly yet.
Sure.
So it's also, this guy has never been identified publicly by police. But as of right now, he's just this fucking weirdo who was really obsessed with this case.
Wow. Okay.
So it's kind of unfortunate. I actually didn't put this in the notes, but he also lived in Wilkersville, which is where the phone call came from.
No way. And they were like, nope, not him?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
However, I forgot about this. He did admit to making the phone call. So
what, he said it was a hoax?
He said that he just did it because he didn't really specify why he did it.
Phone calls to the psychic woman.
He said that he was doing that too. Just a fucking weirdo that likes to like confess to crimes he didn't commit.
That's, you know what? People do that.
People do that. It's fucking
that
creepy.
That guy probably did it.
Yeah.
And it was probably a hoax. That was my first instinct. But I was like, this bitch is insane.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
Asshole.
Yeah. And just like throwing a wrench in like a...
I hope he was properly shamed for that behavior.
I hope so. I mean, we don't know who he is publicly, so.
I don't like him. He sounds like a loser.
Yeah. He really does, honestly. So in 1993... So 4 years later, a new investigator took the case over and had a different prime suspect from before. So not Sean, quote unquote, not Don or Donald. Sorry. The man that he thinks is the guy that killed Tracy is currently not identified to the public.
Okay.
But it is a coworker and a friend of Tracy's at the time of the murder.
A coworker. Okay, well, this is giving, like, Lululemon murder.
Oh, yeah.
That was so traumatizing.
That one was rough.
That I think about it so often.
I bring that up. My brother-in-law works pretty high up in Lululemon. I bring that up to him often. I'm like, you want to talk about that murder case?
Does he know about it?
I mean, I don't think he knows anything else besides what we know.
Oh, okay. So he's like familiar with it.
Yeah, he's familiar with it. Yeah.
It'd be weird to be working at Lululemon and have zero idea.
Yeah, right? You're like, I'm like, it's kind of a cool.
Okay, so going about the... Okay.
Okay. So the new investigator believes that maybe this guy that was friends with Tracy and a coworker wanted to be more than friends.
Sure.
And upon hearing that Tracy had gotten back together with her boyfriend the day before... sent this guy into like a jealous rage. So I think the scenario is maybe like he comes in that night, she lets him in because he works there. Also, she knows him and like doesn't matter if he's there after hours. He's probably like chatting her up.
Okay.
And she brings up the fact that her and her boyfriend just got back together because she thinks he's a friend.
Yeah.
And he gets fucking pissed and decides that.
To kill her. This is also a stretch.
So in 1994, a grand jury assembled to hear this case, and there were 46 witnesses that testified. And the grand jury did indict him, this man, this coworker. Okay. However, the deputy state attorney declined to prosecute because all the evidence was circumstantial.
Okay.
So that's kind of
what... But if he worked there and he was the guilty one, I'm like... it happened there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspicious that of the investigation not getting, like, doing, I don't know.
Due diligence.
Honestly.
So were Tracy's parents.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it. Like, just nothing they could find.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's interesting because, like, if he escaped out of the back and he was the coworker, he would know how to get out. That's why I brought up the thing earlier about, yeah, like, how maze, kind of, like, back of the mall is a labyrinth. And, like, he would know how to escape.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why he would kill her, but, you know.
I mean, people kill each other because they're jealous or, like, they love somebody else all the time. It's not a stretch.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
You think it's a little bit of a stretch? I think this theory is the most...
I don't know enough about the situation. I just don't know.
I mean...
I need to know more about this man.
Like, this case, it didn't go to trial, so we don't know anything about it, unfortunately.
So is that it? Those two suspects and our family's just like...
Yeah, so Tracy's family is still fighting for justice for Tracy.
Oh, God. They were so close, too.
Yeah.
Their parents were
doting. Yeah.
That's got to be just horrific.
Yeah. So it did come out later that there is some suspect DNA.
Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. It's either that, like, there was some blood mixed in with Tracy's at the scene, or maybe there's, like, some touch DNA or something, because there was no sexual assault, so they don't have anything like that. But, and there's a murder weapon. Still.
Okay.
But there's some hope that there is some DNA from the suspect, specifically. It sounds like the DNA has been submitted to a genealogy website.
Okay.
Nothing's come from that yet. It's still,
it takes months sometimes.
Like, it's that was in 2019. But that also just means that, like, if there's no one out there that is connected to this person who has also submitted their DNA to this website,
it might take some time.
It makes me think of the David Glenn Lewis story.
Yeah.
Where, like, it took forever to, like, just find him, even though they had his DNA.
Yes.
Because you just have to connect the DNA to somebody. And, like...
Yeah. How long did it take?
Like, 20 years?
Yeah,
it was like a long time.
More than 13 years.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing is, like, yes, DNA evidence has, like, gotten so far. Like, touch DNA is crazy to me. But if you have nothing to connect it to, like, you're still kind of shit out of luck. Mm. And that's kind of what's happening in this case, it sounds like. So, as of right now, the case is unsolved. It is a cold case. But let's hope that this will change soon and we can finally put the guy that killed an intelligent, thoughtful, and hardworking girl to justice.
There is hope, yeah.
There is hope. I feel like this one can get solved. I think it will. I hope so.
Yeah.
Like, the DNA thing, it's just like, there's just no fucking way. And there's so many, like, suspects in the circle, you know? It's just, it's hard to not think it will. But that's Tracy's case.
Bless her.
I know, it's really sad. But yeah, so yeah, that is the unsolved case for this week. I'm really glad that we don't do true crime every time.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I mean, not even that, but
process. Talk about?
It's also, I think, just kind of like our personalities. Like, we're kind of stupid and goofy, and it's hard to be stupid and goofy in these, like,
cases.
And, you know, I do think they're important, especially the unsolved ones, you know, to, like, make sure that you bring them to light and, like, talk. They still get talked about in this, because usually that's how they get solved.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many cold cases just sitting in, like, CODIS or whatever, just hanging out and hoping that someone, like, gets interested in it. So, yeah.
Thank you for spreading the word about it.
I mean, this one's been covered by a lot. It is interesting. Crime Junkie did not talk at all about the 1993 trial.
Really?
Which I thought was interesting.
That must have been a reason.
Maybe. I found it on a source, so I'm assuming the source is credible. But that is the story this week. Sorry for the bummer. Maybe go watch some Bob's Burgers or whatever feel good show you have. What's your feel good show, Meg?
It varies. I've been rewatching Sex and the City, actually. Again, for, like, I don't know how many times.
Yeah, it's been a lot of times.
It's probably at least the third time.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, the original's good. There's some problems there. It was made in the 90s, so, you know. We've evolved.
It's nostalgic. Socially. What about you?
It is nostalgic. I think RuPaul's Drag Race is probably my feel-good show.
I don't watch that, but I would like it.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
There are some petty-ass bitches on there.
I love it.
But yeah, that's usually my feel good show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so take care of yourselves, and until next time,
stay grimly curious. Thank you so much for listening. For podcast updates and episode photos, be sure to follow us on Instagram @grimlypodcast.
Also, be sure to rate and review our episodes, and we will see you next week for another episode.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.